Greetings. In the precious name of Jesus to each one here this morning. I have been blessed in being here. I appreciate what Brother David said, talking about his concern, and I'm sure that you probably remember me telling this story before, but just to add a little more to what he said, ministers' meeting years ago, there was a discussion about the use of commentaries, and the late Brother Harvey Mass was not one to speak up real quickly, but I just remember after hearing discussion, he raised his Bible up and said, "Brethren, this book sheds a lot of light on commentaries." That's all he said. And you know what? That's where the discussion stopped. And just be careful. We have a copy here of, I believe it was with all diligence and very carefully sought out the will of God and how to put it into print. And we have been blessed by the King James Version for years. We follow the teaching. We have lived under the blessing of God. Generation after generation have experienced salvation, peace of God in following what is written here. And so we appreciate that. I want to welcome each of the visitors here with us this morning. Glad you're here. Glad for the presence of each one. This morning, you open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, speaks here about the heart. God's Word has a lot to say about the heart. We're not talking about the heart that beats in our chest here. We're talking about the heart of man that the from which issues all that is good or evil. In thoughts, words, and deeds. Also the thought of the heart of man. It also deals with the feelings and the will of man and the intellect. I think it's the very central part of man. And God has a lot to say about the heart. Here in Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." For out of it are the issues of life. He goes on to say, "Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." He says, give all diligence. All diligence. Brothers and sisters, we are in the flesh yet. We're living this body of flesh. But thankfully, we don't live after the flesh like we were speaking of this morning. If we're children of God, then those fleshly desires and all we are crucified. We crucify them. But the fact is that we're still this side of eternity. If we face an enemy, one who is trying to, if we have given our hearts to the Lord, We have surrendered our life to God, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We have an enemy that is very diligent in trying to get back in and take that, steal that heart away and turn that heart away from God. So the proverb writer says here, keep thy heart with all diligence. Speaks to me of persistent effort, of being very, very conscious of what we're doing, what we're allowing in our life, what direction we're going. Give all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Going on into the New Testament, Mark chapter 7. I'd like to read verses 14 through 23 here. Words and teaching of Jesus here. Mark 7, beginning at verse 14. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. He saith unto them, are ye also without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So Jesus' teaching is very clear here, that it's not what goes in at the mouth that defiles a man. It's what comes out of his heart, out of his very being. To describe exactly what the heart of man is, maybe a little bit hard to put it in words, but it all deals with our mind and our will and what we allow in here the heart, what's in the heart will come out. And so it's the fruit of what's inside. The fruit is what we come out with, what we can see. Matthew 12, verses 34 and 35. Jesus again speaking here said, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. He goes on to say that we will give account for every word every idle word that we speak. You know, that makes it very serious when we think of our speech. But our thoughts this morning is centered on the heart. But that's, the heart is an index of what comes out of a man is an index of what is in the heart of a person. So the Word of God speaks a lot about the heart. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, the heart is an unconverted heart, says, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, I'm thankful this morning that, and we'll notice this later, that God wants to take that stony, hard heart out and give us a new heart. But, you know, there's so many people in this world today that don't know the peace of God. They don't know what it's like to have a new heart. And they're miserable. They don't know which way to turn. The heart is deceitful. They want to try to put on a good front, maybe, but they can't. They don't have the power to live a Christian life. It makes them miserable. It says that it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's the heart that is in the unconverted person. It wants to try to make you believe that you're all right when you're not. It's desperately wicked. It's deceitful. Ezekiel 36 speaks of how that God wants to give a new heart. Take out that stony heart. Ezekiel 36, 25 through 29. Says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from your idols, and I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Such a contrast to the hard heart, the stony heart, that deceitful heart that Jeremiah was talking about. Also, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm just so thankful this morning that we can be new creatures in Christ Jesus. We can have that heart operation and have a new heart, a heart that is after God, a heart that is open, is transparent, that doesn't try to hide anything. It's not that deceitful heart that the unbeliever has. Maybe the challenge before us today is to keep our hearts turned toward God, toward Jesus. I mentioned already that we still live in the flesh, and we have an enemy. It tries to turn us away from God, from following Jesus. And I believe that the real challenge for us today is to keep our hearts turned toward Jesus. You know, the world has many, many, many things to offer. Things of time and sense. They're not eternal things. They're not things that will see us through to glory. We must keep our minds and our hearts focused on Jesus, on the will of God, on His Word. This morning, we're a group of people that have been born again. We've been made new creatures in Christ. And I'm thankful for that. And one reason for gathering together as we do is to inspire each other to be faithful, to allow God to keep working in our hearts. We're admonished in the book of Hebrews to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because we need this encouragement, because the devil would like to steal our hearts away and draw us back into the world. Brothers and sisters, we are very much aware this morning that there is a spiritual struggle that takes place in the heart and bosom of every Christian. I believe we'd all admit to that, that there's a real struggle that goes on in here. Satan is constantly trying to gain entrance into our hearts. And he was bold enough to even go to God and accuse God of putting a hedge around Job so that he couldn't get to Job. And we know the story of how that went. But you know, I'm so thankful this morning that God knows those that are his, like we've noticed in our Sunday school class this morning. Because we have the Holy Spirit. And God is right there to help us. But and He will give us strength and courage to in this struggle. But we definitely have something to do. There in Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." When we become a Christian and give our heart to the Lord, it doesn't mean that all the trials and testings are over with. But you know, I believe that as we understand the battle, as we understand the struggle, I believe that by surrendering ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus and just allowing Him to work in and through us in a way that we can overcome, we have many, many opportunities of glorifying God through this, that we realize we can't do it in our own strength. And I believe our neighbors know that to live a holy life takes a lot more than just our own efforts. And as our heart is in tune with God, as we're allowing Him to work in and through us, that living in victory is the power of God at work in our hearts. But we must be very mindful at all times that we do face an enemy. Now this morning, I have to ask myself, how is my heart? Who is ruling in my heart? What are my thoughts? What are my what do I find pleasure in thinking about? You know, a heart can be deceitful. We need to continually be on guard. Let's turn to the book of Luke in chapter 12. Begin reading at verse 13, read through 21, Luke 12. One of the company said unto him, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." And he said unto him, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" He said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." And he spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits.' He said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' God said unto him, 'Thou fool, This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I believe that these two different individuals that mentioned here, the first one that wanted Jesus to tell his brother to straighten up and let's divide up the inheritance equally like it should be, I believe it was a window into his heart. He just couldn't bear the thought of not getting his equal share. And the man here that laid up, had a bountiful harvest, was also a window into his heart, what was there. He wanted the easy life. He wanted the American dream. You lay up a lot of money and retire early and have a good life. Go fishing, play golf, whatever. What's in our heart this morning? What are our thoughts, our words and actions? What does our heart show? Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Matthew 6, 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There will your heart be also, where our treasures are. It's not wrong to accumulate things. We're commanded to work. And if we work diligently as the Bible would teach us to work, well, I think there will be gain there most times. But we must be careful, brothers and sisters, that our heart is not after these earthly material goods. Satan is very deceitful. And he wants us to get our attention off on the wrong thing. Again, as God blesses us with material blessings, we can use that for his glory. And one of the ways in doing that is really laying into our brotherhood aid offering. We don't buy our way to heaven with our money, but we can use it in ways that glorifies God and brings glory to Him. And so let's keep our hearts pure. Let's keep them in God's control, and then use what He gives us for His cause and kingdom. In Acts chapter 4 and latter part of that chapter and beginning of chapter 5, we have an account that's very familiar to us. There were needs among the early church. And beginning at verse 36 of chapter 4, says, "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold the possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? Was it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. The young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Peter answered her, "Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much." She said, "Yea, for so much." And Peter said unto her, "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." And she also died. Now, they had what would you call deceitful hearts. And I don't believe that they were required to give all the money. But they were trying to deceive and make it look like they were giving the whole amount, when in truth they were giving only a certain part of it. But Peter said, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? So God doesn't always demand that we give every penny, we might say, that we have. But we give out of a pure heart, not trying to deceive anyone, and then God can bless what we give. They had deceitful hearts, and it's something that we need to be careful of, that we're not guilty of something similar to this example. You know, we might pretend that we're a real sincere Christian when there is not a total surrender and commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's deceitful. That is being deceitful. What about in our marriage relationships? You know, we made vows, and is our marriage relationship as good as what we try to make it to appear in public? How is it in our hearts? Do we have a deceitful heart? Hopefully that we all have good marriage relationships here this morning. But the devil would try to have us appear in public like it's better than what it is in private. Where is my heart this morning? Where is your heart? Is it in some material thing? Maybe in our vehicle, in our pickup, in our car? You know, I believe the way we dress them up reveals what's in the heart. Just like the way we would add on to our little children's, especially the little girls' clothing, the extras that are put on. I believe it's a wind into the heart. Not of the child, but where is our heart this morning? Is it a sincere heart? Is it an open heart, transparent? Maybe our heart is in our business or our work. And I know that it has to be enough there to be inspired to keep working. We can't go to work morning after morning and dread going and be lazy and accomplish God's will that way. But to put too much emphasis in our work to where that we just can't get to prayer meeting, we just can't get to all of our revival meetings. I know there's reasons why we can't sometimes, but talking about our work, and it can broaden out into other areas too. I know sometimes because of recreation, maybe that can't get to all the our meetings. But I just believe, brothers and sisters, that these are windows into our heart. I believe giving all diligence to keep our hearts where God wants them to be, that we're willing to stop work early enough to get to prayer meeting and revival meetings. In our world today, the sports craze is a big thing. But God forbid that the sports idols of our day would have an effect on our hearts. God forbid that we would be going after any of the sports craze that we see in this world today. It is not from a heart that is after God. There's hobbies that we have, and I'm not against hobbies if they're kept in their place. I enjoy sitting down to a puzzle and working at it some as I have time. But you know, brothers and sisters, we can put a lot of money into hobbies, whether it's fishing, hunting, you name it. It's all so many different things that we can do. And I don't have anything against hunting to put meat in the freezer. I think it's good. Fact is, I tried my hand at it a little bit last winter and failed, but I just have to wonder sometimes if the amount of time that we put into hobbies and things that can be all right, so long as they're kept in their place, if that time, a lot of that time was put into going to Richmond, in around the university there, just milling with young people. If we were in there handing out tracts various times, meeting with them and talking to them, what would it do for their hearts? It's just something that I deal with. Maybe it's because I grew up that teenage years, that it was a regular thing that we would go out and hand out tracts. Maybe that's why I feel that way about it today. But I believe that kingdom work is an index into our heart, how much we really care about it. Where is our greatest pleasure derived from? What causes us to be really enthused? King Nebuchadnezzar was so taken up with his kingdom that he had built, he couldn't think of much anything else. And finally, God brought him down to where that he had to go out and live like a wild animal. But through God's dealing with him, why, his heart was changed. Instead of saying, "Is not this the great Babylon that I have built, He said, I extol the God of heaven. You know, God dealt with him in a very tremendous way, but it was good for Nebuchadnezzar. And his heart was changed to extolling God. A few passages I want to look at yet. Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart. The heart that has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. The heart that is after God. The heart that is guarded from all the evil and corruption that's in the world today. And young people, and we older ones too. Let's be careful with all the technology. How soon can our hearts be corrupted by what's available through modern technology? Chapter 6, verse 24 of Matthew. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Let's turn to Psalm 139 yet. Maybe somebody wants to quote these last two verses, Psalm 139. I give that opportunity. Well, it goes like this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I trust that's our prayer this morning. You know, the psalmist here was meditating on the greatness of God. How that he acknowledged in the first verse, says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Going on to think then of how great God is, that regardless where we are, God knows it. Regardless what we do in secret, God knows it. And God was the one that allowed us to be born, and when there was nothing as far as body parts, God had all that arranged already, and here we are. And then the psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's pray.